Well, we are, I'm Ben, I'm lead pastor here. I'm kicking off a series, really a short one, where we're looking at the unstoppable nature of the faith that God wants to develop in each and every one of us. But I'm going to start out not talking about us individually. We'll do that in the next 2 weeks, but us corporately as a church. If you're here just checking out God or church, this is a great time because this is sort of an insider message today. And you'll get a look on the inside of what this is all about. Church is supposed to be unstoppable. That is the nature of the church. That has been the history of it. Sometimes it's not. I think one of the worst things that's ever happened in modern Christianity is the reader board sign for churches. You know what I'm talking about? Here's a few of them up here. Many who seek God at the 11th hour die at 10:30. That is just great. I kissed a girl and I liked it, and then I went to hell. Do you ever think about where you're going to spend your entirety? Yeah, you need a little spelling. This is Women's Bible Stud. Now, that may be an advertisement for a dude. I'm not sure what that is. Well, we are considering the unstoppable nature of faith. And what I want to do is start out with our mission, which, by the way, is just a biblical mission. I think you can have a different statement, but you can't have different content and really be a Bible-based church. It says this, to make more and better disciples of Jesus Christ. What does that mean? That means that we want to throw out a bigger net. I mean, it was amazing just seeing how many people were at the Issaquah campus this morning. It's great that we're growing, and we need to do that. But the goal is that we not only grow broader, but that we grow deeper in our faith and walk with Jesus Christ. That's what I'm going to be talking about primarily today. And so God calls us to reach people, whether you're it's Redmond or Bellevue or Sammamish or across the world as well. Look at what Jesus says, though, the cost that's involved in following him, Mark 8:34. Then he called the crowd to him along with the disciples and said, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me." Now, denying ourselves, we're not really good at that, are we? Because we want our own way. It's natural, but it's not necessarily the most beneficial thing. You've learned that in relationships. You can get your own way, but sometimes you end a relationship. You can get, you know, I can have it my way, as they used to say, I think, at McDonald's or Burger King, and the results aren't always really positive there as well. So what we're called to do is to go God's way and believe. See, I fundamentally believe that sometimes we don't follow God because we're not convinced he speaks the truth, that his ways are actually better than the way that would come naturally to us. But we see that lived out in our lives and in the pages of Scripture. You look at the early church. I'll give you a little history lesson on this. The book of Acts we're looking at, it was written by Luke. Only two books in the New Testament were written by someone who is non-Jewish, a Gentile, and that was Luke. The Gospel of Luke tells about the life of Jesus, his ministry. And the book of Acts, it talks about the history, the spiritual history of the early church. Well, you see that it experienced exponential growth. That, and in the midst of that, they were not only growing bigger, but that they were growing deeper as well. And that's what we see in Acts 2:42. It says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. Now, underline this last sentence. So if some of you don't have your notes out, and that's because you're sinful. So go ahead and underline that. It says, and the Lord added daily those who were being saved. So the idea, now saved, it gets a bad rap just because of some boofy hair TV preacher, but really that's what it talks about. It says that we're going in a way that really we need rescue from. It's a biblical term. Don't let someone steal that from you. and that God wants people to understand his heart for them. And you know how they're going to understand that is by you and me. And the problem is that we're imperfect. Do you know the person next to you is imperfect? Yeah, some of you are going to tell them now. No, that's but that God would use us together. So here's what I want to do. And I'm going to teach more than preach today and you know, probably not, focus as much on some inspiration, but more education with this. Hopefully you'll feel somewhat inspired as well. I don't want you to be like Jim Gaffigan there. But I want to look at what is the unstoppable nature of the church. Number one, everyone is welcome. You see that, and I'm not going to read it in Revelation. It even talks about there that God's saying, come, I want people to come to me. You see it in the life of Jesus. Who would he invite? Anyone. In fact, Jesus would talk to women. By the way, if you're a skeptic feminist, Jesus was the first religious leader on the earth to include women and to have them as his followers. In fact, the status of women, although not perfect, was changed substantially by the ministry of the early church. If you have a good grasp of history, you'll understand how transformational. Perfect? No. But moving forward, incredibly so. Now, one lady came across, she had a bit of a checkered past. She came out in the middle of the day to get water because everyone knew she had that checkered past. And then we read this. It says, then leaving her water jar, the woman went back to the town and said to the people, come and see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Messiah? They came out of the town and made their way toward him. And see, what happens is first she feels accepted, and then she'll engage. And you might wonder, if you're a church person, now I didn't grow up a church person, but I know that a lot of people were a church person at some point in your life. They'll talk about, what kind of church. We're a traditional church. We're a missional or an attractional. Not bad terms. All of them are non-biblical terms. What the Bible, it doesn't use any of those terms. You know what the Bible term is? Transformational. Prevailing. So I think it's really good that when we talk about it, instead of using buzzwords that can be divisive, why don't we use Bible words that are instructive? And say that it's transformational. And Jesus, just like the early church, it's not that you accept every lifestyle, you affirm it as being good, but you accept every person, no matter where they're at in their process. Now, also we see in the early church that they met together. Everyone's connected. And that they were connected in a way that was powerful. We all need that. We all need that in our lives. We all need friends and relationships, people who will tell us the truth. Happiness doesn't come from being independent, isolated, living with barriers up all the time. It comes. In fact, what's the worst form of punishment for people who are in prison? Solitary confinement, right? And I always think that's sort of funny because what do to our toddlers? We give them timeouts, which are solitary confinement. And so, but that's a worse form of punishment because God has created us to be connected. Well, you're here and we're in rows right now. Not bad. Okay, that's great. I'm glad you came. I mean, that's awesome. But this is one way of being connected. But when we gather together in circles and ministry teams and growth groups, that's where exponential transformation takes place. Is it an either or? No, it is a both and. See, oftentimes we just don't know what we're missing. You ever had something that you didn't know what you were missing? When my wife and I, when we first got married, we moved down to Scottsdale, Arizona, beautiful place. And then God called us to a little town, Kingman, Arizona. Any of you ever been to Kingman, Arizona? Yeah, it's the most architecturally challenged community on earth. Great group of people, just a pretty redneck town there. But we felt for some reason God called us there. We went to pastor a church of 37 people. We went from a church of 400 to 37. And shows you I'm not a really good pastor, am I? So we took over this church at 37. God did amazing things. We only had three, like everyone in the church was over 75 years old or 80. There were only three men in the whole church, but they were digging it. As we were there, we were really broke, took money out of savings. So we were in this apartment. My wife was 8 months pregnant. And So we're in this apartment. We didn't even have cable TV. We used rabbit ears. And can you believe I'm still married? So we're there. Basically, at the end of it, they're doing sort of the exit interview. We're moving out of the apartment. And the manager says, so did you enjoy the apartment? Did you enjoy the cable? My wife sat there for 6 months in Kingman, Arizona and it's like, we missed out. And it felt stupid at the time. And I felt punished after that. You know what's sort of funny is that oftentimes we are surviving without community, but we are not thriving. And we it's not that we're dying, it's what we're missing out on. And God wants us to develop that. So we see this, and I'm going to just go over this quickly. It says they studied the Bible together. We see that. They did life together. They ate together. They prayed together. That's sort of what we see in the early church. Well, then we see this other aspect of a prevailing church, unstoppable church, is that everyone is needed. Everyone is needed. By the way, but before I move on to that, when it says they prayed for each other, I would encourage you to do that in your growth groups. Pray for the church. Pray for me and my wife, Terry. I know when I say that, some people are like, oh, is there something wrong? Do you have a secret sin? I don't. I can't vouch for her. But no, just kidding. But really, it's because there are always challenges when it comes to leading a ministry. Honestly, as the church has grown and grown and grown, sometimes it's interesting what will happen along the way. You start to get a little higher profile, you become a bigger target. And so in that, we'll just say continue to pray for us. Well, we see that everyone is needed. Everyone is needed. And this really what it's talking about here is us not only being needed, but that we would take a position as a servant. And I don't know about you, I don't like to be a servant. You know, the concept is nice. Are you a servant? Yeah. Just don't ask me to serve, and or let me do the tasks that are sort of like, when does this start? It starts as when you're a 2-year-old. You say that your first words are besides mom and dad are mine, right? When you go into elementary school, I don't know how we have people of all generations at our church. Are any of you old enough to remember the game King of the Hill? Yeah, they don't do this in schools anymore because I think it damages self-esteem or something like that. But King of the Hill was basically this. By the way, 4th grade at John Dower Elementary School in Tacoma, I was King of the Hill all the time. And I hate to brag, but I really was. That's because, no, literally, like at 10, I'm pretty much the same size I am now. I mean, puberty hit me with a vengeance at 6. So, sorry, too much information. Anyway, so I was a big kid in elementary school, and we played this game. Basically, that start recess, you'd get to the top of the hill, people would try to take your place, you threw them down the hill, and at the end, if you were still, it's a violent game, but it was good. And at the end, you'd be king of the hill. And I was king of the hill. Now this is, like I said, I don't want to be have too much ego here, but I was king of the hill for a very long time until we got a new kid at our school. Yeah, and this kid was taller and meaner and stronger, and this kid was a girl. And okay, don't judge, by the way, because I knew I was in trouble. She had like these cowboy boots, and she'd spit and chew. She was actually a glue eater. I never, we'd heard of glue eaters before, but I'd never really met one. And she lived in our neighborhood too. And she was actually a really, she would pick on little kids. She would throw rocks at cats. I'm not kidding. But ever since she's gotten out on probation, she's much better. And that's probably not kidding. So she would do this. And then finally, one day, I'm up at King of the Hill, and she charges for me. And what happened, I'm not going to tell you. But but I got beat up by a girl. Anyway, so... But the funny thing is, we all want to be on top. And there's nothing wrong with that. Like I said, Christians, you should get promoted. You should get pay raises. You should be successful, because when we honor God with our work, It's the natural consequences is that we find success. It's not always going to happen, but that should be the norm. But see, you know what the big problem is? It's not for those of you who say, you know, I've sort of made it. I'm the CEO or whatever. It's because I think it's honestly easier when we're there to be a servant, but it's when we're in between. And we say, well, I haven't gotten there yet, so don't slow me down. But even at that point, God says, I want you to serve. I want you to give your life. And see, the example is how he gave his life for us. The Bible describes a church as a body. In fact, it says this about spiritual gifts. It says there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it's the same God at work. What basically it's saying is that you don't have to do what I do, but we all should do something. Every Christian should have a ministry in the church and in the world. It's not either or, by the way. If you're serving in the church, that's awesome. But we should be doing something in the world. And if you're serving in the world, but yeah, you got this is your church. You need to roll up your sleeves. It's a both and. So here's what it says. It says, the eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. You know, if you read the Bible, it's pretty interesting. For me, one of the greatest authenticating factors of the Bible are the messed up people you find in it. Because if you read other religious books, everything's so sanitized it seems fake. And it really is, because we know life isn't that way. But you see people in the Bible, in the Old Testament, all of them were in process, none of them were perfect. So who does God use? People in process. You say, I haven't arrived yet. See, that's this side of heaven. That's what it is to live this side of heaven. And we see in the Bible who God uses. God uses liars and cheats and people who like Hugh Grant movies. And, you know, he uses all sorts of people from all sorts of backgrounds in process in the midst of sin, but who are available to him and to his purposes. You know, at Timberlake Church, I'm glad that we're a church that's known where people can come and find a relationship with Jesus Christ. I've had this conversation way too many times in the last 4 years where people, even people go to another church, say, yeah, but my friend isn't quite a Christian yet, so I brought him to your church because I knew that, you know, because they know that they'll hear what the Bible says about a relationship with God, but in a way where someone won't feel rejected. And I love that. But I know an area where God wants to continue to grow us is in our heart of service for each other and for the world. Now, this is not one of those pleas. There are more people serving at Timberlake Church today than in the history of the church by far. So it's not that things are going terribly. It's really more of a spiritual call that we would respond to what the Lord wants to do. See, what I don't want to do is be guilt-driven. See, oftentimes, now especially, I got to warn you, if you're really focused, one of these people who's generally focused on ministry in the world, community outreach or missions, you got to watch that because oftentimes people use a guilt motivation. And that's, we don't do that here. In fact, we don't even allow you to do that here. Because everyone, we want to be called by the Holy Spirit. And then sometimes what we'll do is get in an either-or mentality. Well, I give, so I don't need to serve. And what's the Bible call? It calls us to do both. By the way, if you're on the other end of the spectrum and you say, you know, I love to serve, but I'm not, you know, contributing to the financial needs, change that. And that, again, this is not a, it's sort of like, have you ever gone to lunch with a slow payer? You know what I'm talking about? If you don't, you're a slow payer. That's what you are. Because I've gone to lunch with plenty of people like that. So, you know, sort of like you're going to lunch, and then the bill comes, and they're like looking up into space. They're talking to Jesus. You know, they're doing all of that. And you reach slowly. And what you're trying to do is say, you know, why don't you pick up the tab? Or I love the people who they automatically have to go to the bathroom once they see the waiter coming with the check. And, you know, no one wants to. Don't be that guy. Don't be that lady. What we want to do is we say, I want to do my part. I want to contribute financially. By the way, if you're new here at Timberlake, one of the things you'll find that's pretty interesting is we don't do special offerings. And you say, well, shouldn't we? No, we don't. No, no, no. We do one a year. And why? Because what we want to do is teach biblical stewardship. I mean, we're giving hundreds of thousands of dollars to projects this year. But it's just when you give your regular offering, see, that's where it comes from. And I think that's a better way to do it, because then we don't get this pressure or guilt motivation, unless some of you would love us to take lots of special offerings. Is that what you want me to do? No? Okay. Yeah, I didn't think anyone wanted that. So really what it is that God calls us to all be involved. Well, what are some of the opportunities that we have? I want to take a little bit of time to look at some of those, because I'm going to ask you, what we're saying for the summer of service is everyone serving somewhere for at least one day. Just do one thing and just encourage you to do that. I just think it'll be transformational for our community. It may not benefit Timberlake Church, but it'll benefit God's kingdom. It'll benefit people who are hurting and in need help. So what are some of the opportunities? The first one we have, go ahead, is the Global Orphan Project. Now, if you're new around the church, we have given and made a commitment of over $100,000 to the Global Orphan Project alone in Haiti, built, equipped, funded an orphanage there. And now we're not asking for any money. What we're just saying is go. Why don't you go there? And it'd be great to, on the 24th, we have a meeting where we're going to be sending teams once or twice a year. Then go ahead and roll through these slides. We have Issaquah Food and Clothing Bank. We got a project there. They haven't given us a date. We're going to paint it. By the way, at Timberlake Issaquah, the largest offering ever on Mother's Day was all given to that food bank, just to meet a tangible need in our community. We don't advertise that. And then we do some community outreach events like Issaquah Garage Sale, Highlands Days, Sammamish 4th of July. These are things where we just serve the community. Like a couple years ago, we gave out water bottles on the 4th of July. The only problem was that it was cold and raining. Yeah, that was Pastor Nick's idea. But we tried, you know, God saw our heart. YWCA Family Village Issaquah. An interesting thing has happened there. Actually, now the director and the assistant director now actually go to Timberlake Issaquah. We've been able to help out a number of families already and have been invited into that ministry. So it's sort of cool how God's opening up the door. Eastside Baby Corner, we've done that for years now. We help with items and so forth. Union Gospel Mission, again, we've been a financial partner as well as a ministry partner, and then Habitat for Humanity as well. These are just some of the opportunities, and would encourage you to just say, you know what, I'm going to try it out just for one day this summer, and it'll make a difference in someone's life. And you know who it's going to make a difference, whose life it'll make a difference in the most? Your life. See, this is the goal, is everyone's change. Everyone's changed. Acts 2:43-46, we see that people are changed. And that's twofold. The beginning is everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. That we're changed by coming into a relationship with God. And by the way, notice what it says, everyone. That God says anyone. He didn't say, well, you're not good enough. I chose you not to be part of my family. No, he said, anyone who'd call on my name. You can have that life-giving relationship. And then, continually, we're changed continually. That's what it says in Psalm 26:2. Test me, O Lord, and try me. Examine my heart and my mind. See, what will continue to make us effective as a church? Not criticism. Do you know that criticism, people don't, if you lead with criticism, that doesn't work very well. And conformity, that doesn't work either. See, God has called us to be different. But compassion, saying just as God cares for you, that one of the ways he's going to express that is through me. And I'll do my part. In contrast. Whereas, say, you know, there's a different way to live in a way that makes sense. And that's centered in Jesus Christ. You know, I talked about some of the community events where we just serve people, like the 4th of July or the Highlands Days. And you might say, you know, what kind of difference does that make? Ben, aren't we a church? What difference spiritually does that make? A huge difference. And I hear story after story. And I want you to hear the story of someone who had definitely given up on God. And then God got her attention just because about a year ago, as many of you were starting Timberlake Issaquah, people reached out. Go ahead and take a look at this.
It's funny how I really believe that things happen for reasons. At certain times when you're ready to embrace and, you know, accept them and understand why they're there. My name is Kelly B. Reagan, and I've been coming to Timberlake for almost a year. So I come from a fairly religious family. They went to church every weekend, and I didn't enjoy my church experience. And I think the main reason why I was so turned off to church is because they didn't embrace me. I was a very curious child. Imagine that. And I asked a lot of questions. And so I remember when they would tell Bible stories in Sunday school, I'd be the one like, wait a minute, how is that possible? How could he walk on water? You know, explain how the sea parted. How is that possible? And I just remember the teacher talked to my parents and said, you know, your daughter's a real disruption in class, and it would probably be best if she didn't come back. I think what really set me over is when my father was diagnosed with cancer. And it took him an 8 months. And after that, I kind of went on this downward spiral of self-destruction. And that's when I really was like, you know what? There is no God. And you know what? I don't know if I was so much of an atheist. I wanted to believe. There was a part of me that wanted to believe because I watched my stepmother, and it was her faith that kept her so strong and put together. I definitely stumbled upon Timberlake. I had no idea what Timberlake was. And I can remember my husband and our son at the time, who was like, you know, pretty much a newborn. We were up in the Highlands. They were having a community garage sale, and it was like raining. And I remember, you know, Kenny fell asleep in the car, and John's like, oh, I'll wait in the car. You know, you go and look what you need to. And, you know, I found some really cool things. And then I saw like all these people in these Timberlake shirts. And somehow I ended up talking to a gentleman, and I was trying to be really polite because when I found out they were like, you know, a church, I'm like, oh, okay. And afterwards, I don't know what it was about him. He was like, you know what? Just come. Just try it. And I'm not going to lie. I was looking for that sense of community. You know, having my son, I really wanted to raise him having all these options so he could make his own decisions. And I wanted to find a church. I wanted to believe. The morning of that first preview service, I can remember being so nervous. I was trying to find every excuse of why we shouldn't go, and for whatever reason, we ended up going. I remember walking into the auditorium, and I heard this music, and I felt this music, and it was like really catchy, and I totally forgot that I was going to this church. And then we sat through this hour of what could have been this stand-up comedy session that totally spoke to me. And it totally related to what I was going through in my life. And I left, and I was like, this is amazing. And so that preview service, we had to wait a whole nother month for the next one, because this was the startup of the Issaquah campus. And so we drove ourselves to the Redmond in between each preview service until they started that September, and we've been going ever since. I don't know if there was a definite time when I said, I'm going to accept Christ. I think that just kind of came over time, where all of a sudden, you know, here I am. It's been almost a year that I've been, that, you know, my family and I've been attending, and I couldn't tell you exactly when I accepted Christ, but he has been accepted. I try to be in the moment, and I'm also very excited about the future. I know there's a lot more to come.
Right before the service, and Kelly and her husband were in the front row, and it's been amazing what God has been doing. My neighbor just knows her, and when found out she became a Christian, she says, you got to be believing me. That's unstoppable. It's unstoppable because God will move through any available person. But if we're not available, God will not move. And it's not about us as an organization. It's about us as individuals saying, God, send me. It might be uncomfortable what you're asking me to do, whether it's serving in the church or serving in the world or giving or praying, whatever it is. God, it's probably all of those things. But I know that lives will be changed, beginning with my own, when I join the mission that God has called us all on. And it truly is unstoppable. You are doing an amazing job. Thank you. And there are people who are going to spend an eternity with Jesus Christ because of what you're doing. So here's what I want to encourage you to do. I want to encourage you to say, okay, maybe it is this summer. I'm going to do somewhere in the summer service, or you'd respond to that. Maybe you're here and you say, hey, I'm one of those people on the other side of the line of faith. You don't need to stay there. You don't need to get your act together before you come to Jesus. In fact, if you think you have it together, you're probably not ready yet. It's when you say, God, I want to know you, and I'm available. And if you're available for that, I want to give you an opportunity, even now, to say yes to him. Would you pray with me? Lord, I thank you that we can be part of something so much greater than ourselves. And God, I know that there's some of us here, you've allowed us to do great things in our families and in our businesses, but God, that we can be part of the greatest thing of all, and that's your kingdom advancing. Marriages being healed, of people crossing the line of faith. And God, I know that there's some of us here, that's really what you're doing in us. And if there's that want to in your heart, you know what the Bible calls that? That's faith. That's faith building up. And you would just, if that's what you want to do, if you say, you know, I want to make that decision to follow Jesus, to have that kind of faith that Kelly was talking about, just pray with me. You pray silently. I don't want to embarrass you in any way, but you'd pray something like this. You'd say, God, I thank you that you love me. I thank you that you gave your son Jesus Christ for me, to pay the price for every sin I've committed, and also to teach me how to live in a way that makes sense. And God, I give up some of my rights. In fact, I give them up all, because that's what you did. And I just want to follow you. I don't even know where you're going to lead me, but God, I want to follow you from this day forward. And the Bible says if you made that decision, it doesn't even matter the words. If you said yes to Jesus Christ, that he's with you right now. And he's with you for eternity. And that he's never going to give up on you. And God has called you to a mission. And it's his mission that's so much greater than one that we could make up on our own. Lord, I thank you for my friends who have crossed the line of faith today. And God, I pray that you would continue to reveal yourself to them. And God, for many of us, we have another line of faith to cross. And that's where we would step into a deeper obedience to you. God, that we would be all about welcoming and connecting and serving and sacrificing. And God, that we would just know in your goodness and in your plan, and even though it's counterintuitive, that we would be the ones who would be changed in the process. And we thank you for that. God, we make ourselves available to you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.